The word of God. And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. We give you all praise and glory and honor for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can't think of any, I know we're running late, and so we skipped announcements, and I can't really think of any announcements that are vitally important, so. No. But praise God, we're going to try to have communion next week. Amen. So I definitely want to tell you that, so that you when you come here and just try to behave during the week, praise God. Amen. Try not to get into strife with anybody, so that you know, cuz I know sometimes some of y'all looking all embarrassed, you know, we have communion and you're sitting there saying, I can't take communion, but I sure don't want nobody to know I can't take communion. Praise God. I know how it is because I've been in that position. I'm not going to lie. Amen. I've been in that position where I'm mad at somebody and I know I better not take communion. I might get struck dead or something. So praise God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. I'm going to try my best not to keep you here too long today. But you need the word of God. Because most of y'all haven't been getting the word all week. Praise God.
Amen.
You don't show up for weekday services, so I know you ain't getting the word. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to be blunt about it. And like Pastor Mary said earlier, most of y'all don't even pick up your Bibles during the week. So I got to feed you when I can so that you don't die spiritually. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But that's the funny part. You don't get fed all week and then you want to rush me out of here. You want, Pastor, hurry up. No, you need to eat. Praise God.
Amen.
If you ain't been eating all week, you need to take it. You need to chew slowly. See, when you're breaking a fast, you can't rush the food in your mouth. Or you'll get a heart attack. Praise God. And some of y'all are breaking a spiritual fast today. Amen. All right, I'm going to get off my soapbox on that one. Take, receive it. If it's you, you receive it. If it ain't you, then don't worry about it. Amen.
Amen.
If you've been reading your word all week, then praise God. Just thank God for it. I'm not at your house, but I know what the Spirit of God tells me. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Mark chapter 6, begin at verse 2. It says, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying," say saying.
Same.
Praise God. They were saying something. Now, before I go further, I'm going to give you the title of the message: Limiting God by Our Words. Say that with me. Say, limiting God.
Limiting God.
By our words.
By our words.
Ah, did you know that you can limit God by your words? Well, you're going to find out today if you didn't know that. If you haven't been listening for the past couple of weeks, or you've been skipping services, you've been playing hooky, you're going to learn something today. Praise Jesus.
Mm.
All right. So it says they were saying, say saying.
Saying.
These people were saying something. Now look at what they were saying. From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? In other words, they were questioning Jesus, praise God. They were saying things. They wasn't giving him any compliments. They were, because Jesus was in his own hometown, they were questioning, saying, who does he think he, this is basically what they were saying here. Who does he think he is? They were doubting Jesus. Verse 3, here's some more stuff they were saying. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? See, I was talking to some young men last week trying to share Jesus with them, and they told me they just believe that Jesus is a good man. They don't believe that he's God. They believe in the universe. So this is what a lot of people were, even back in Jesus' day. That's why Jesus can't do anything for them. because they only think of Jesus as a good man. He was a carpenter. He was a great philosopher. They were speaking doubt and unbelief, praise God. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were, and listen to this, they were offended at him. They were offended at him. You can't get blessed by God when you are under offense, praise God. Mm-hmm. Let me say this very quickly, because I'm not teaching on offense today, but I'm going to teach on it in the very near future. If you are offended at somebody, that's the reason why God can't bless you. If you're mad at somebody, you're in unforgiveness, I don't care who it is. I don't care what they've done. If you are offended, God can't bless you. Amen. Mm. And let's see. Verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And verse 5, listen to this. He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick people, not many, upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marveled. In other words, Jesus was very shocked and surprised because of their unbelief. Say, because of their unbelief. You know what that word because means? It means there be a cause for what happened. Praise God. So the reason why Jesus could not do any mighty works there. The reason why Jesus, how many of y'all believe that Jesus is God?
Amen.
I do. I raise both hands and 3 feet on that. Praise God.
3 feet.
Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, see, since me and you are one, I raise one of your feet for me. Praise God. Since we are married and we're one, and my body is your body is my body, I'm going to borrow your feet. So it says, Jesus is God. Yet, it doesn't say, listen to this, in verse 5. It says here, he could there do no mighty work. It doesn't say he would not do any mighty work, praise God. It's not talking about his willingness. And that's not talking about Jesus didn't get offended. He said they were offended. Amen.
Yeah.
Now Jesus said, well, because the way y'all talking, I ain't gonna do no mighty work. Then he would have been offended. Amen. And he would have been in sin. And then he couldn't save us. Praise God. Because if he's a sinner, how can he save us sinners? Praise Jesus. So Jesus wasn't offended. So he didn't sit there and say he wouldn't do any mighty work. It specifically says that he could not do any mighty work. It has nothing to do with God's ability, with God's willingness. It had to do with his ability, praise God. Do you know that your words, which express unbelief, which exactly what they were doing here, when they were talking, when they were speaking, when they were saying things, they were expressing unbelief. And their words hindered God from doing any great or mighty miracles amongst them, praise God.
Amen.
Your words and my words is what's God stopping God from working on our behalf even to this day, hallelujah.
Amen.
We keep questioning God. We keep saying things about God. We keep getting offended because of circumstances, because of situations. We get mad, and some of us even get mad at God, and we blame God for the things that we are dealing with in our lives, and then we wonder why God ain't working on our behalf. You sit there and you talk nasty to God, and then you say, God ain't doing nothing for me. Well, hello? God can't do anything for you. Hallelujah. But Pastor, isn't God all powerful? Oh, he certainly is. Isn't God sovereign? Yes, indeed. But isn't God, doesn't he have all power and can do all things? Show enough. But God respects your will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is, as I've told you during this teaching of this series, God is a gentleman.
Amen.
Say, God
is a gentleman.
A gentleman does not force his way on anybody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A gentleman does not make somebody do something, even if it's good for them. Glory to God. You know, I can see somebody sick, and I know that they need to take some aspirin. But I'm not going to hold them down and force the aspirin into their mouth, even if I can do it. Amen. You choose not to take the aspirin? Well, we'll be saying nice things at your funeral. Hallelujah. But anyway, God wants to do great things for his people. But your mouth keeps getting in the way. You keep saying things. You keep speaking words. Instead of getting into the Bible, finding out God's promises, finding out what he said, find out what he claimed that he would do for you, finding out that what a good God he is, how much he loves you, and all the wonderful things he promised, and instead of paying your tithes like you're supposed to, well, instead of giving your offerings like you're supposed to, and then you wonder why the windows of heaven ain't open for you, why God's not pouring out the blessings, praise God. Why you don't have enough money at the end of the month to meet your bills? Why you're having difficulty getting a job? Why you're having difficulty making ends meet? Because you're offended. And then when you don't obey God, you speak against him. Your words limit God. Turn with me to Matthew 17. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen, I'm telling you. Amen. Amen, all right. I just need to know y'all alive. Praise God. Matthew 17, verse 20. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Say because.
Because.
Now what was my definition of because?
That there be. There is a cause.
That's right. There be a cause. There be a cause for what we're talking about. Because of your unbelief. The cause of your problem is your unbelief. Praise God.
Amen.
Now listen to this. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and ye shall say unto this mountain, say, say.
Say.
Say,
say. Say.
All glory to God. You know you have saying power.
Amen.
You know what stops your saying power from working? Ronyell, what did you say? All right. Because of your unbelief. That's the reason why you got saying power. You can command mountains to move out of your way. But if you don't use your saying power, it ain't going to work for you. Amen.
Mm.
Listen to this. Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, say nothing,
nothing,
shall be impossible to you. Ooh. Do you believe that Jesus means exactly what he says?
Amen.
I'm telling you, Jesus gives us some unlimited promises in his word. I mean, you don't realize how much power you have. And the reason why you're not exercising the power is because of your unbelief. You keep speaking and saying things and opening the door for the devil to destroy your life. You keep doing and not doing. You keep doing things that God tells you not to do, and you keep not doing the things that God tells you to do. Praise God. If you start doing the things you know are required, and stop saying and doing things you know that God doesn't want you doing. Well, Pastor, I can't help myself. You just lied. You just lied. Praise God.
Amen.
You can help yourself. If there's anything I know when I've sinned, is I could have not sinned. I meditated on it. I thought about it. The desire of my flesh overwhelmed my spirit. And I did the thing. And then I sat there and cried later. God, I'm so sorry. But I learned to stop doing that. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm not saying that I've arrived yet or that I've reached the level, the infinitude of perfection. I have not gotten there yet. Praise God.
Amen.
But I ain't doing what I used to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So You got to learn to discipline yourself. You got to learn to discipline your mouth. You can say what God says. You can speak what God speaks. You don't have to complain. Praise God.
Amen.
You can speak and say the word of God. So it's our unbelief that keeps us, praise God,
amen,
from receiving what God wants to do. God wants to do healing. He wants to heal people. How many of y'all know God heals today?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God heals sicknesses today?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God can heal cancer today?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God is willing to heal cancer today?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God wants to bless you and prosper you physically and financially and socially? Mm-hmm. How many of y'all know that God wants to give you not only a job, but a better job? How many of y'all know that God wants to give you raises and bonuses?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God wants to do, he's not limited by your education.
Mm-hmm.
He's not limited by your how well you can speak. There have been people that have been called to ministry who were tongue-tied, who stuttered a lot. And God would tell them, I'm calling you to preach. Moses was one of those, but we've had people in our own modern day who stuttered, and they just obey God, and the word, and you listen to them today, and the words will flow. Praise God.
Amen.
God is not limited by anything except this, your unbelief. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He can't do it, because if you won't let him, he's not going to force himself. Remember, I read to you a couple weeks ago, Revelation 3:20. He knocks on the door. He don't crash the door. He don't kick the door in. He knocks. He waits for you to open it. You never open it, he's not going to stand in the rain all night. Praise God.
Amen.
He will wait a while. He's more patient than most of us. He'll knock. See, I knock on your door. I'm going to wait maybe a minute. You ain't answering. Bye. That's why I say I haven't arrived yet. Praise God. Jesus will wait a while. He loves you that much. Hallelujah. But Jesus is waiting for you. But it's your failure to open the door. As a matter of fact, you keep barricading the door with your mouth. Praise God. Turn with me to Psalm 78. I know this is a little bit harder than I was last week. But I think some of y'all need this. Maybe I need it more than you. Psalm 78. Begin at verse 19. It says, yea, they spake against God. Say they spake against God.
They spake against God.
Now look at this. They spake against God. And then it goes on to say, they said. Say they said.
They said.
Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God really do that? In other words, that's not a question of, well, I don't know. It's a question of unbelief. Praise God. You see, because they have seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Mm-hmm. How can, after you've seen God open a Red Sea,
yeah,
walk on dry ground, and then when the Egyptians come after you, close the Red Sea, how can you even look at that as just coincidence? Well, scientifically speaking, maybe it was global warming that moment. I mean, they seen it.
Tsunami.
And I said, yeah, oh yeah, it was a tsunami. That's what happened. It just didn't touch us. Now you've seen that. And you still ask, can God furnish us a table in the wilderness? Oh, good Lord. And yet, while we can talk bad about Israel, we all do it today.
Amen.
We all do the exact same thing today. I remember, I used to get so mad at Adam and Eve sometimes. I would say, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be in this mess. Until the Lord told me, well, if it wasn't for you, you wouldn't be in the mess you in. Reminding me that it ain't just Adam and Eve. It's Troy Edwards too. It's easy to get down on the Israelites and say, oh, what is wrong with these people? When you and I do the exact same thing today, we open our mouths and instead of speaking the word of God, instead of rehearsing all the great things God did for us, instead of saying, oh, I remember the time when God saved me when I was about to get hit by that bus, and that almost happened to me. Praise God. I remember the time when I didn't have any money and I didn't know how I was going to feed my family, and God supernaturally provided. That happened to me too. Praise God. When I was almost out in the streets and God opened the door and got me into a nice home, a nicer home than I was in before, we don't rehearse any of that. Soon as a crisis comes, we forget everything God has done. Mm-hmm. And we say, well, I don't know if God's going to do that for me. Can God do this for me? Boy, we need help, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let's go on. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters can't gush out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Lord have mercy. Out in the desert, no water. God has a rock smitten. Water gushes out. And you say, all right, thank you, Lord. But can you give us, but I don't see no bread. Wait, dummy! Lord, can he provide flesh for the people? Therefore, the Lord heard this, and he was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Listen, why? Verse 22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation.
Amen.
God was hurt, angry, and upset because they did not believe him. I mean, he does all these miracles, and they still don't believe him. Now, jump right down very quickly to verse 40. I mean, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25 said it this way. It says, your sins, not God, but your sins have withheld good things from you. Praise God. The sin of unbelief is what withholds good things from us. If you learn to get into God's promises, you learn to rehearse and go over what God has done, I'm telling you, your faith will grow and it will reach new heights and new levels. Hallelujah. It's when I have rehearsed God, I've quoted his promises to myself, I've quoted over and over again the things God did for me in the past, that whenever I reach a new crisis, that my faith soars. And I'm able to walk through it and overcome and come out as pure gold. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I've walked through some fire and some water, but never did it burn me. I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but I have never feared any evil because his rod and his staff were there to comfort me. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 40, it says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? Oh God, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness? That word provoke, it means blaspheme. It can be translated as blaspheme. How do you blaspheme God? With your mouth. How often did they provoke, or how often did they blaspheme him in the wilderness? In Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says that blasphemy is speaking against the person that you're blaspheming. Praise God. It's a question of their character. It's a question of their integrity. Verse 41, it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited, say limited.
Limited.
Oh, they limited God by their words. They limited God by their big mouths. They limited God by their talking. They limited God by their saying. See, you can open doors for God with your mouth, or you can open doors for the devil. It doesn't help for you to pray and ask God to do things for you. And then when we talk to you and say, so how's everything going? Well, I'm just going through right now. I don't know. I've asked the Lord to do some things. I'm just waiting and praying to open. No, you need to be more confident. If you believe God's promises, say, hey, the Bible says that I shall have whatsoever I say. Amen. The Bible tells me that when I ask, I shall receive. When I seek, I shall find. When I knock, the door shall be opened unto me. So my God has already answered, and I believe the answer will soon manifest in my life in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But if you keep speaking doubt and unbelief, you know, there's an angel. And this is proven by Daniel chapter 10. There's an angel as you're praying. God hears your prayers the first day. And God dispatches your angel and says, hey, go take care of my child. And the angel's on his way. And the devil, and this is all proven by Daniel chapter 10. This is not fantasy. The devil is going to stand there to try to blockade him. And they're going, and they're battling. Your words determine the outcome of the battle. Praise God. Mm-hmm. If you keep saying, well, I don't know, then the angel's getting beat up by that demon. But when you say, hey, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, then that devil, then the angel's sword gets bigger and brighter and lighter and starts, hey, get out of my way. I got a child of God and faith here who needs me. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to speak faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You limit the Holy One.
Amen.
When you don't speak it.
Yes.
They remember, verse 42, they remembered not his hand. Remember I told you got to rehearse some things? Part of the problem with unbelief is forgetting. I'm going to preach a message one day called forgetting and remembering. Two important aspects of faith. If you forget what God has done, you forget his word, you forget God, you lose. When you remember what God has done, when you remember his word, you win every time. Praise God. Because remembering develops faith. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All God wants to do great things.
Amen.
Let's look at a couple more passages of scripture. Numbers chapter 13. I'm hoping you're seeing this. I'm hoping you're grasping this. It's very important that you learn to speak right words. It's very important that you know that God answers prayer.
Amen.
It's very important that you know that God is on your side and wants to do so much for you. Praise God.
Amen.
But he expects you to be obedient to him in every area of your life. Praise God. He expects you to live pure. Amen.
Amen.
He expects you to live holy. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor, that's hard. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
If you love God, you'll make the effort. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't love God, you just won't.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be serious about the things of God. See, I don't know what it is, people. These days, people have taught salvation as if it's just, let me just say a prayer and then I'll do what I want afterwards. That's why people aren't committed. That's why they don't live for Jesus. That's why they go out and think that, well, I can sin all I want now and I'll make it to heaven. No, it's not that way. When you are, salvation is a commitment. Say commitment. That's why people are missing churches on Sunday. That's why I'm, and let me say this, I know it's going to be harsh, but I really believe I'm being led by the Spirit of God. But I was, you know, a couple months ago, I was talking with my friend, Pastor Amos. Pastor Amos Wager, y'all know him, he preached here before. Great man of God out in Philadelphia. And Pastor Wager, he said this, but I agree with him. He said, Pastor Troy, he said a lot of people that come from Liberia are not saved in the first place. They're just churchgoers. He said, you find out how saved they are when they come to the United States, and especially after they get a job. Then you find out they ain't really saved. Praise God. Because if you are saved, you are truly born again. If you're truly in love with Jesus, you'll commit yourself, praise God. You will be committed. I see somebody like Pastor Mary, for example, and Martha. They're nurses, but they work their schedule to where they can be here. Even if they could, and somebody like Pastor Steve who works all night and is tired, but he's still here, praise God. And Josh, 45, me and my wife came from their house a couple of weeks ago. You know, my wife, it's been a long time since she's been to the house, and so we were driving from their house a couple of weeks ago. I told her, you see how far they had to drive just to get to the church? Praise God. That's commitment, praise God. Some people live right around the corner and they won't come. It's tight, but it's right. This salvation is not about you just saying a prayer and then doing what you want afterwards because I know I'm going to heaven. It is a commitment. It is a relationship, praise God.
Amen.
You are not in another religion. You are not in Buddhism. It's not Christianity. It's not Buddhism, Mohammedism, or any of those things. Christianity is a relationship with your God.
Amen.
Amen. If I only visited my wife every month or so, is that a relationship?
No.
Let me put it to you bluntly. If I only visit my wife because, you know, I live far away from my wife, and I only visited her because I have sexual desires, and I decide I'm going to meet them once a month. Is that a relationship?
No.
No, it's not. But that's what happens with some of y'all in Jesus. When you need something from the Lord, that's when you decide I'm going to have a relationship with him. When you're tired of him, when you don't feel like seeing him, you don't visit him for a long time. Amen. I don't know why. Believe me, I had not planned on saying any of that today. Numbers 13. We're almost done. Some of y'all saying, "Oh, thank God. Don't beat me up no more, Pastor, please." Now you need this, praise God.
Amen.
If I don't tell you the truth and you go to hell, I'll probably end up going with you because I am required to teach you the truth and to save your soul. Hallelujah. Now, if I tell you the truth and you still go to hell, then it's not my fault, praise God. I'm going to cry for you, but I ain't going. I'm not following you there. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Now, I want you to notice the part. It says, "Send them that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Praise God.
Amen.
God said that I have given you the land. Now, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 1, you will see that it was their idea to search the land, not God's. Praise God.
Amen.
God is often said to do the thing which he allowed to happen. But so God said, "Okay, y'all want to search the land? Go ahead. But I've already given it to you." Praise God.
Amen.
Now, go down to verses 31. Now, after they have searched the land, 10 of the spies, there was 12 spies that went into the land. Two of them came back, and they were like, "Hey, yeah, we've seen some circumstances that are difficult, but we know that we can conquer this land." But 10 of them came back with what the Bible calls an evil report, a report of unbelief. And look at this. "But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Now, didn't God just say, "I've given you the land"?
Yeah. Amen.
Didn't he just say that?
Mm-hmm.
And they are speaking against God. They said, "We aren't able to do it. God said they could. They said they couldn't."
Yes.
Verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They were looking at the circumstances. God said, I've given you the land, but they said the opposite of what God said. They're talking about the giants. Last week we talked a little bit about the Nephilim. One of these days we're going to have a Bible study on Nephilim. I love that subject, praise God. But y'all got to learn to read some Apocrypha, like the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilee and them books. But they saw giants in the land. There's a song that we used to sing, though there be giants in the land, I will not be afraid. See, you got to learn to stop being afraid, praise God.
Amen.
Now, turn me to Numbers 14. If you're taking notes, write down verses 11 and 23. It talks about how they provoke God again, how they blaspheme God. I don't want to, for the sake of time, we won't read those two passages. But those two passages talk about how God is upset because now they, once again, God considers what they said as blasphemy. They have questioned God's integrity. They spoke words that limited God in their lives. Now look at verse 27. It says, how long? He's talking to Moses now. He's upset. God is just upset. He says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? That word murmur means complain. Praise God. They were speaking against God. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say, murmur against me. They keep speaking against God. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Woo! Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Praise God. God said that they were going to get the very thing that they said they were going to have. They started crying. They started complaining because of the 10 spies. Said, we can't do it. We can't go in there. So the rest of the congregation started crying. Why God brought us all the way out into this wilderness just to kill us? We're going to die here in the wilderness. Then the next day, they, instead of thinking it over, you know, God gave them a whole night to think about what they were thinking. Praise God. All night they were whining and complaining. God stepped back. He didn't say anything. The next day, instead of them waking up and saying, well, you know what? Don't you remember God said he gave us the land? Yeah, Joe, you're right. Let's just go in and take it. No, instead of that, they said, let's stone Moses and Aaron and make us a captain and go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. You see why God called them an evil congregation? I mean, these people were something else. They're like a whole lot of church members today. Oops. But seriously, though, after God did all that, and after God specifically promised, I'm giving you the land, they looked at the circumstances. They cried and they whined and they said that God brought them all the way out to the wilderness to kill them, questioning God's character of love and God's integrity. And then on top of that, they got devilish and wanted to murder their pastor. They wanted to kill the pastor, praise God. Ain't that something? No wonder God was upset. I mean, it takes a lot to get God upset, whether you believe it or not. God waited all night. Some of y'all would have got upset the moment that it happened. God said, well, let me give them some time to really think about this stuff. He gave them a whole day, a whole night, and all the way up to the morning. He said, I'm going to let them sleep on it. I'm sure God, whether y'all believe it or not, I believe God has hope in us. Praise God. Amen. He has hope in us. He's hoping that we'll change our minds and think differently. I mean, you read this in the book in the prophets. He told, I believe it was Jeremiah, he said, or I think it was Isaiah actually, he said, I thought that after they had done all their sinning, that they would return to me, but they didn't. God is always hoping for us to change our minds, but most of the time we don't. And so then God has to say, how long do I have to put up with this? Do you want God to say that about you? Oh, I don't want God to say that about me no more. And if he has said it about me, he's never told me he said that about me. But if he has, I don't want him to say it anymore. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So what we need to learn to do is learn to speak right words. Open his Bible. Learn what the Bible, what the promises of God are. Learn what the commands of God are.
Amen.
Find out what they say. And believe that God will do it for you. My God shall supply all your need. Hallelujah. He's not limited by your bank account. Your bank account don't mean nothing to God.
No.
Some of y'all trying to, and it's nothing wrong with saving, but some of y'all get upset when you have to take that money out of savings like I used to do. Stop shaking your head. You're supposed to have a stoic face. I used to tell my wife, I want to at least keep $1,000 in the bank, gosh. But I remember when the Lord spoke to me one day and said, son, it don't matter how much you got in your bank account. The need comes, I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, he sure has. My wife, she laughed at me, but she'll tell you now, I don't worry about it no more, praise God.
Thank you.
I don't concern myself with how much money we got. Except when I want to buy something for myself, then you know. Well, I want to get a little selfish, but you know, God doesn't give you selfish stuff. But every time, I've never been without. God has never, ever let me go without. Praise
Amen.
God. He has never looked at my bank account and said, son, woo, look how much you got. I'm sorry, I ain't going to be able to do nothing for you. I feel bad for you, son. God ain't never said that to me. Never. Now, I might say that to others. Woo, that's how much you got in your bank? Baby, you better pray. I can't help you. But I know someone who can. Jesus never has said that to me. He's always reminded me, I supply your needs. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread.
Amen.
Never have I had to beg anybody for anything.
Yes.
Never. And some of you can testify to that. Some of you have gone through some stuff in Liberia. You can't, and you went, you had to go to those camps and stuff, and you saw God supply each and every one of your needs. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And some of y'all were fasting and praying, said, God, just get me to America. And then you said, thank you, God, and you went out and started getting drunk. You know it's true. Stand to your feet. Praise God.
Amen.
Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to learn to speak the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. You're not going to walk out of here and let the devil steal the word from you?
No.
All right. Start saying what God says. Start obeying God. Start doing what he tells you to do.
Amen.
If he says tithe, praise God.
Amen.
If he says give your offerings, praise God.
Amen.
If he tells you to live holy, praise God.
Amen.
Stop doing things that hinder God from blessing you. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Praise
Wherever I am, I'll praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like the sea. I praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus lives with me. Wherever I am, I'll praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like the sea. Like the sea, I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise. praise him whenever I can. I praise him because his love surrounds me like the sea. I praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus.